Welcome to Listen to Lawrence, presented by Lawrence Eric Davidow, Senior and Managing Partner of Davidow, Davidow, Siegel & Stern, one of the first and most successful elder law, special needs, and estate planning firms on Long Island. This podcast series is based on his Listen to Lawrence seminars and will teach you how to plan in advance to protect your own assets and those that you leave to your children and grandchildren. Mr. Davidow is a past president of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, a published author, and an accomplished and educational speaker. So sit back and listen to Lawrence.
Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Davidow, and welcome to another episode of our Listen to Lawrence podcast, where basically I dedicate this to answering your questions. So every week, my readers, my listeners, my clients, my friends, they send me questions, and I just sit here and answer them in the most simplest terms possible. This is not going to be a half hour. This may be 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 10 minutes. We'll see where it goes. But each time I like to see a question and answer that question specifically, and just enough information that you learn something. And that's what this is really all about, is that you learn something. You picked up one thing today. And if you can learn just one thing every day, then that would be, those will be successful days. So, you know, I have a large firm, Davidow, Siegel & Stern. We've got 12 lawyers, a staff of about 30 people. But my Medicaid department is headed up by my partner, Michelle Jablonski. And sometimes when we get Medicaid questions, I like to bring her in on this podcast so that she can give her perspective on it. I'm telling you, she's a rock star in Medicaid. Nobody knows more here in New York about Medicaid. And so I think it's just appropriate to bring in the best expert I know to answer these questions. So, Michelle, hi. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you've been on a podcast with me once before recently, and you'll be on many, many more coming up. Last time we talked about home care. This time, the question is a little different from one of our readers, and why don't we just get right at it? The question is, my mother put her assets in an irrevocable Medicaid trust over 5 years ago, and now she needs a nursing home. How do I go about applying for Medicaid? And go, Michelle.
All right. Well, this is so fact specific, so I'm going to try and keep this very general with the understanding that there are a lot of exceptions to the rules that I'm going to advise you of right now. But when a client comes in and they say, well, I think my mother needs Medicaid nursing home care, assuming that the client is medically eligible for Medicaid nursing home care, then the question shifts to, well, are they financially eligible? Because we all know that you can privately pay for nursing home care. You can have long-term care insurance that may pay for your long-term care needs in a nursing home. Maybe you're a veteran with a service-connected disability rating where the VA would pay for your care. But if none of those apply, then we're looking at Medicaid to pay for your nursing home costs.
And you have to be poor to be on Medicaid. How poor do you have to be, Michelle?
You have to have less than $15,900 in assets as of the first day of the month you want eligibility. This is the first test. It's the asset test. So if I have two bank accounts in my name right now, and I want Medicaid eligibility effective July 1st. On July 1st, the value of those two accounts should be less than $15,900.
Okay, so let's assume that this client came to us 5 years ago. In their question, they said that they did a Medicaid trust. And let's assume we did that Medicaid trust.
Got it.
And we taught them how poor they have to be. And that for the last 5 years, this daughter who asked this question has been preparing to be that poor. She got that.
Got it. So that's
good. So now she comes into the office, her five-year look back, which we can explain, which I've done in other podcasts, but let's assume her five-year look back is over. She's been poor for, the mom has been poor for 5 years. She's down at $15,900 in assets or below. She is technically financially eligible for Medicaid. She comes in and she says, I'm ready to apply. What does that mean? What's the next step then?
The next step is we're going to give her a list of documents that she should start to gather so that we can submit all of that documentation along with the Medicaid application to the local Department of Social Services.
Is this a long list?
It's a very long list.
Yes,
it's a long list because it includes a lot of information about you personally, your Medicare card, your birth certificate, marriage certificates, death certificates.
And of course, all the clients saved all those documents.
Right. It's some of that's a challenge, but that's the reason why you're coming to us, because we're trying to help with, in this difficult time, we're trying to help make this process as easy as possible. When we present the clients with the list, we tell them to do the best that they can. No one's going to have 100% of what we're asking for. They bring it in, we review what's there, what's not, and then will help them get what's missing.
I know you're the master of the to-do list, so I know that you create these to-do lists for the clients, and you hope for the best, and you hope they're good students, and they come in and they do all their homework, and if they don't, well, maybe we won't give them a gold star, but we'll give them another to-do list to keep them on track.
Absolutely.
I've seen you in action doing that.
Absolutely, and we help them, because some of these documents, there's lots of funny stories and reasons why I don't have my birth certificate. Maybe I was born at home. And I don't have a birth certificate issued by someone. So we're dealing with a lot of those sort of issues.
Especially in the
olden days. And how we problem solve to get Medicaid what they need so that the client will ultimately be approved. And we need the help of the clients, but we are also very competent and able to do a lot of that without the clients, as long as we have necessary authorizations and other legal documents in place that allow us to act on behalf of the client.
I got tripped up once by a Canadian. Is that a problem if they come from another country?
Well, it could be. There's lots of different issues, because one of the things they look at is identity and citizenship. But if you're legally here, there's other exceptions to that rule. There's lots of exceptions to all the Medicaid general rules.
So as long as you have a green card, you're in.
You should
much.
Be fine. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I have some old clients who came over from Italy years ago and just never got the green card. They've been here all these years.
They get Social Security. They're on Medicare. Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, we've got a problem applying for Medicaid. All right, but let's assume that's not a problem here. So they have to get their personal information.
Yep.
And what about finances? We need some finances.
So
too,
with
don't
nursing
we?
Home, as Lawrence alluded to before, there's a 60-month look-back period. And a lot of people think, oh, that means I'm not eligible for 60 months. That's not necessarily the case. The look-back period is really another word for an audit period. There are certain transfers that I can make during a look-back period that may not necessarily affect my Medicaid eligibility. So we're looking for 60 months of documentation about any asset you, or if you're married, your spouse has owned during that 60-month look-back period. Real estate, life insurance policies, IRAs, 401ks, bank accounts, annuities, stocks, bonds, all of that stuff we're looking for.
And so do they want to see a copy of my stock certificate?
Absolutely.
Or my brokerage account?
Absolutely. They want to see if I have a Morgan Stanley account, they want 60 months of my Morgan Stanley accounts that are issued monthly. If I have an annuity, if the annuity is only, the statement is generated on an annual basis, they want 5 years of that annual annuity
Michelle,
statement.
Michelle, they'll tell you that they don't keep 5 years worth of records. They've been throwing them out for years. They keep 1 or 2 months and then they throw it out every month. Is that a problem?
We need to get the documentation for Medicaid purposes.
We still need to get it.
Absolutely. You can't just say, oh, I can't find it, or it's missing, not good enough for Medicaid. You have to make due diligence.
They have to call up Merrill Lynch, their advisor, and hopefully, I assume it'll all be on microfilm.
A lot of the financial advisors are very helpful in assisting us, especially with brokerage firms.
And I'm sure they love those calls.
Oh, I'm sure they love those calls, too. And a lot of banks are now a lot more savvy, because a lot of the bank tellers or representatives have been through this process themselves. So they know.
And it's the same thing with bank accounts as well. We have to provide every monthly bank statement.
You've
going
got
back
it.
For 5 years.
And a lot of people say to me, well, what are they looking for? We're giving them all this documentation. What are they actually looking for on the statements? They're looking for where your money comes from. So they're looking how your money is deposited. Some of it's very self-explanatory, right? When we see U.S. Treasury, we know that's Social Security. If I see something from NYSLRS, we know that's a New York State pension. If I see $300 going from someone's checking to savings, that's easy. But when I see $256.23 deposited in the bank account on March 18th of 2018, they want to see what's known as a bank deposit reconstruction. They want to see what was deposited on March 18th. Maybe it's dividends from stock. Maybe if I'm depositing $800 a month of cash in my account, Medicaid says, where's that cash coming from? Maybe you're renting property. You're not disclosing to us.
So they have a right to know all sources of income.
Yep. And then they want to know, where is your money going to? Because the general
rule... What are they worried about?
is you can't give your money away to get under the $15,900 and expect Medicaid to pay for the cost of your nursing home care. There are some big exceptions to that rule, but that's the general rule. So that's why they want to know, where is your money going to?
So every year I give my my daughter $3,000 on her birthday as a gift. Is that a problem?
So there are some exceptions to that regular transfer rule. The normal general rule is for that every $13,800 plus or minus you give away during the look back period, you're not eligible for 1 month of nursing home care. What you're referring to-
So it's not that I'm not eligible for 5 years.
You got
it. If a transfer is caught in the 5 year look back, there is a penalty of 1 month for about every almost $14,000 you transfer out of your name.
Exactly. And
I
the caveat with that, though, is that that penalty on that money doesn't start to run until you're in a nursing home, have less than $15,900, apply for Medicaid, and your income is at least a dollar less than the private pay rate to the nursing home.
So so what you're saying, I think, is when you're in the nursing home and you're poor, that's when the five-year look back is going to start? Is that what you're saying?
You've got it. So if I want Medicaid to start paying my nursing home on July 1st of 2021, they're going to look back. If they see that I gave away $100,000 in March of 2019, because that falls within the look back or audit period, they're going to take that $100,000, divide it by 13.8, and they're going to come up with a penalty period of about 7.5 months.
And if they saw I gave away $5,000 here and $20,000 there and $15,000 here and $2,000 there, they're going to add all that up.
They're going to add all that up, unless there's an exception that applies, which you alluded to a little bit in the question that started
Hard
this,
question, actually,
which is $3,000 per... to my daughter for her birthday per year. I think there's an argument to be made that that might not be a gift made in contemplation of Medicaid, which is one of those exceptions I'm referring to.
So if you can prove that you gave away the money for some other reason that had nothing to do with trying to protect your assets for Medicaid, then there's no look back on that? Or there's no penalty on that?
You're simplifying it a bit. There's a variety or host of other factors that come into play. You know, if I give my son $200,000 so he can care for his daughter, but that only leaves me with $30,000 in my name, I think that's a harder argument to make. But if I give my son $200,000 and I have $800,000 in my name, then I think there's an argument to be made that that's not a gift made in contemplation of Medicaid.
And probably the person's health at the time when they
Absolutely.
Make the gift.
Absolutely. What their health is, what their age is, what their medical condition is, how much other money they have in their name, what other circumstances surround the gift. If my son lost his job, show me that he is on unemployment. Or if I have a sick family member, show me that they're sick.
Are they going to look at every single check I wrote in the last 5 years?
They can. But normally they don't. Normally they're only looking at checks of over $2,000. It depends on the county where you're applying.
So they have they could ask for everything if they wanted to.
They could ask for everything if they want to. Absolutely. That's well within their jurisdiction to do that. But that just becomes an administrative nightmare for them. So normally there's some guidelines. So a lot of clients will say to me, oh, well, if it's $2,000, I'm going to have mom write out $10, $1,500 checks today, and it's not going to be an issue. Nope. They're smarter than that.
Right.
They get it. And now they have systems where they run all of the documents through a computer and it spits out a result. So it's a lot easier to process these kinds of cases and catch some of these things.
So this is not really just about filing an application for Medicaid. That's the easy part. The hard part is all of this supplemental information, this personal information, this financial information, 5 years worth of records. This is like a big blown out IRS audit, isn't
it? It's worse than an IRS audit, because IRS normally only goes back a few years, 3 years. This is going back a full 5 years, and it's not going to get easier.
No,
it's only going to get harder.
They're making it a lot harder to get on Medicaid these days, and that's why I'm so happy to have you at the helm of our Medicaid department. Michelle Jablonski, my partner, my rock star, thank you so much for being here today. Now, people out there, I want your questions. This whole podcast is about these questions. It's a question and answer format. I need your questions. And I've been getting lots of them, but I want to keep this information coming. So send your questions to info@davidowlaw.com. That's davidowlaw.com. info@davidowlaw.com. Send me your questions, and on a future podcast and or my Listen to Lawrence letters, it's an email that I send out twice a week, I will answer your questions. I'm dedicating this website for that. Thank you so much for listening here today. I'd like to wish you peace, health, and happiness, and until next time, stay safe, my friends. Bye-bye.
The Listen to Lawrence podcast is not meant to be advice particular to any one person or to serve as a do-it-yourself planning guide. It's simply to educate the audience. For more information, please visit davidowlaw.com.